Welcome to episode 23 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is March 6th, 2012. I'm Matthew Furlough, and this is my running mate, James Furlough.
Hi, and today, as you noticed, is not Sunday.
Yeah, it's not just Tuesday, it's Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Yeah, man, don't you follow politics at all?
It is Super Tuesday. You're right.
This is the best reality TV show on air right now. I don't even care who wins in reality. I just like the contest of it. It's fun to watch politicians politicking.
Well, that's good. I enjoy tech news, which is why I'm doing this instead.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we won't talk about that very much. So this week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera. That is the soap opera that is corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. Before we get into the show, James has got a short disclosure for us.
Yeah, first one totally unrelated to the actual disclosure I normally give. Just wanted to say thanks for holding on. We had some stuff going on Sunday, which made it not possible for us to record, but here we are on Tuesday, and we are hoping to be back to our regularly scheduled time next week, I guess. So it'll be a semi-short week, but given what's happening tomorrow, we'll have plenty to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we will talk about what's happening tomorrow.
Which, today. One of the companies that may or may not be mentioned in that chat is HP. And the reason why I bring that up is because I work for HP. However, I do not represent HP's opinion, and so I should always say I. And if I happen to say we, I meant to say I.
Very nice, very nice.
Thank you.
So if you want to follow us, as is always an option, I highly recommend going to Twitter. You can follow me personally at Matthew Furlough D. Oh, jeez.
Where'd that come from?
Whoa, that is not my handle. Okay, it's at Matthew D. Furlough, all one word.
Mine is James Furlough, all one word.
Or you can follow the show itself, which I highly recommend, at Furlough Bros, all one word. And what's cool is, and I know that, you know, as we kind of continue on our development of our social media networks,
Strategy,
thank you. For me, one of the things I'm doing is I'll actually post to my personal Twitter, but I'll mention Furlough Bros if it has to do with the show. So if you want our updates and articles we find interesting, if you're following that feed or my feed or both feeds, you're going to get a bunch of awesome information. So I recommend it. And don't worry about it. Twitter will filter all that, so you won't get redundant tweets.
That's good.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. And then you can also go to Facebook, go to Furlough Bros page, like us. You can go to Google Plus, do the same thing, but you're going to have to plus us. And we're all over Dig now, too, and we're all over the place. So check us out. It's pretty exciting.
It is.
So, cool. So this has been a super long week. There's a lot going on, so I say we jump right into it, but we're going to talk about not this Monday that happened 2 days ago, but we're going to start with the Monday from last week. So hold on. We're going to get exciting.
Well, and the reason is that there was it's not a consumer electronics show. It was like a mobile conference. I'm sure there's a name for it. I just don't have it anywhere. But in this, they showed off one really cool phone. It's a Nokia phone, and it uses their old school operating system. So they're like, you're never actually going to buy this phone. But it had one really cool feature on it where they were like, this is cool. We need to talk about it. It has, you ready for this? A 41 megapixel phone.
Oh, jeez.
Now,
41 megapixel. So
that's a lot. Yeah. But here's what's cool about it is they were saying, like, in some ways it's actually it's misleading because it can actually only, I'm going to put this part in quotes, only produce up to 38 megapixels. It can't actually do 41. And quite honestly, most of the photos that you save are really going to be more in like the 8 megapixel range, like a normal camera.
Right.
So
So you're talking, that's 8 million pixels on an 8 megapixel. So this is you're talking 41 million pixels at its highest density. That's crazy big.
So now, but here's what's super fascinating about this is that, like I said, most photos will be only saved at the 8 megapixel size, I guess. So what it does is it starts off at the 41 megapixels, and then it shrinks it down to the 8 megapixel size and uses the extra detail from the 41 pixels to make the photo crisper and sharper.
Whoa.
So part of the pixels are there for the actual picture itself, and part of the pixels are actually there to help inform the other ones to make them better. Pretty cool, huh?
Interesting. That is very cool. Because I know that's something that Adobe has been working on some really, really, really interesting imaging technology for post-processing stuff like taking a blurry picture and making it and sharpening it all up so it's not blurry anymore. I mean, and it just they take these pictures that taken with a normal camera and they sharpen it up and it's incredible. But they have another technology that it's a or where they have a camera that takes like I can't remember. I'm gonna guess that it's like a few hundred different pictures. And it builds composite pictures where you can change the focus depth, so you can change where the focus occurs. And one of the big walls that Adobe has run into with their post processing, all their Photoshop type stuff, is that they have to start with a basic camera. There's only so much you can do with a picture as in the realm of intelligent processing. But if you have these more advanced cameras that can take different types of pictures, then you can do the post-processing right there, or even keep the large files and do the post-processing later and really create dynamic, impressive pictures. And the ch likelihood that somebody's going to walk up and just take a random picture and you're going to be able to turn it into something beautiful goes way up. And so I think this becomes more and more important as, we start seeing images from all around the world. That's cool. I am excited about that.
Yeah. Now, once again, the weird part is that they started this 5 years ago, back when they were running Symbian, and so this particular camera runs Symbian on it. But what they said is that, how's that soda? Is that what that is? Is
Oh,
it
is it super
soda?
loud?
I was just like,
Yeah,
there's an explosion going on in the background.
I see. I've got my headphones on, so I can't hear it at all.
But anyways,
That's been good.
they're bringing the entire package over to Windows 7 eventually, or Windows Phone 7.
Good.
So it'll be there in
That's
the next
good.
couple of
Oh.
years. But
Did
dude,
they mention anything about price?
this particular one, no, because in it he says like nobody will buy this phone. It's an evolutionary dead end, but the camera is desirable.
Well, it's at least they're acknowledging that. Well, I guess because my question is going to be, are you talking? Is that going to be a $500 phone? Because after the, after somebody, you're what's the word I'm looking for? When
Yeah, I
the
don't know.
telemarketers, it's yeah, because if it's super expensive, then it might be kind of pointless. But if unless you're part of the military, in which case, maybe it'd be worth buying a couple million of, and and then it's worth all the money. That's cool. That's exciting. Hopefully, we'll get to see that and actually take root in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
Because
well, I mean,
now that I'm
clearly cameras on the phones are, that's the future, of course. So anything to make it better is good.
and I'll be honest, like I didn't really have an appreciation since I haven't had a smartphone. I didn't really have an appreciation for having a good camera on your phone. And now that I've got my iPod, my latest generation iPod Touch, which has a a semi, it's a, a middle decency picture, but no flash, and I'm like, I can feel that itch for wanting a better camera in my pocket at all times. I get that. It's starting to make sense to me, and I can see why it's a, that sort of thing's compelling.
Well, and I mean,
Very
you think
cool.
about this. I'm headed on a business trip to New York next week, and I'm just bringing my iPhone. That's it. I'm not bringing my Canon
Nice.
big DLSR or DSR D.
Is it
I'm not
DLR? I don't
bringing.
know what it is.
I can't remember. I
The
thought it was
big
only
one.
three letters. Yeah, I'm not bringing the big one. So I'm just bringing my phone, and I'm gonna hope that it takes good enough pictures. I'm not gonna hope. It takes good enough pictures where I don't need to bring my big camera. Is the
Right. And that's important, and I will mention for our fan base out there that likes us to mention this, Google's got some great cameras on their phones as well for their Android phones. So this is a widespread phenomenon, and I think it's a good thing. I think it helps.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you just think about some of the stuff that HTC revealed earlier, where they were talking about their whole new lineup of phones, and they look pretty sweet. So, anyways, yeah, it's a cool phone, cool camera. It's huge. I like the idea of not just going after megapixels anymore, but actually, saying, hey, we can collect more megapixels, but we're going to use that data to make better photos at a size that honestly. 8 megapixels for uploading to Facebook, that's plenty big.
Yeah,
Because
definitely.
that's where it's ultimately going to end up.
Yeah. So that was Monday. We're gonna fast forward to a week ago today. Google's talking about the future of their operating system last week. They were trying to make some big announcements, but they sort of got crushed by the basically the only company out there that could have made the news about them be quiet. And I want to talk about this really briefly just because I think it was funny. Yeah, Google's making this big announcement, talking about their system. You've got the president of the company, which is, I can't remember what's his name. Man, I'm not off my ball today. What's his name? Schmidt.
Eric Schmidt.
Thank you, Eric Schmidt. Wow, you need your help. Eric Schmidt is he was gonna be talking about it, and so that morning, Apple did something that was kind of out of pace for them. Generally speaking, traditionally, Apple has always announced an event 7 days to the day of the event happening. So if it's gonna be on Tuesday, they'll announce it the Tuesday before. If it's gonna be on Thursday, they'll announce it Thursday before. Well, this time they announced an event for tomorrow, Wednesday, and they announced it on Tuesday. And the general consensus of why they did that was because Google just so happened to be talking about Android on Tuesday. And so, as sort of a snubbing their nose and showing Google that they can still control the media better than anybody else,
Well, yeah, well, and I mean,
they
and
made
more
their announcement.
importantly, I guess these invites get sent out by email, and the email was literally sent as the talk began.
Right. And it just is, that's so brutal. That's such a, I was about to say that's such a Jobsian thing to do, but it makes you wonder if that really was a Jobs move, or if it's one of those things where Jobs always thought that was a good idea, but it was actually other people coming up with these malicious kind of snubbery acts,
Dude, and that's
and
what it
those
is
people
too.
who. Yeah, it was just a that was a blatant shot across Google's ship. I'm
Yeah.
like, I have, yeah.
You
So
okay there? Is Tuesday throwing you off? Are you off your game?
Tuesday is throwing me off so bad. I'm just like, I'm getting to the end of sentences, and I'm like, there's a word. What is that
That
word I'm
word?
looking for?
I know it exists. I can
Yeah.
conceptualize it. I pretty much every
So,
single public speaking speech that I do, I forget a word.
yeah.
That's like I know it's gonna happen, and I'm always like, there's that word, what's that word? And typically I'll ask whoever's listening, like the audience, I guess, and be like, what? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And I'll start describing it and saying what it is, and I'll totally let it sidetrack me. I had one time where I was just like, I could not let it go. I was like, no, there's a word for this. You guys aren't guessing well enough.
Be better.
Oh, yeah. This is your
So,
fault that I can't
okay.
remember. You're not helping me. Anyways.
So, yeah. So I wanted to talk about that pretty briefly.
That's
I
funny.
do want to get into the iPad a little bit later in the show.
What iPad?
And yeah, so Apple is. I want to get into the announcement that Apple's going to make tomorrow.
Which, by the way,
We
we
know that there's
might
an announcement.
we're probably gonna put something in the headlines saying like, exclusive already revealed, just to have fun with it. We haven't fully landed on the title yet, but given that we're gonna publish this mere hours before the event, we figured we might as well make some clickbait or link bait. What would you call that?
Yeah,
Whatever.
I think it's link bait. So this is for you, those of you who have made it 15 minutes into the show and you're looking for early exclusive details before the announcement
Ah,
occurs.
joke's
listen to
on
the show, it's
you.
interesting. Come back next Monday for our regularly scheduled show, where we'll have our regular in-depth analysis. I do want to make a point though. Later in the show, we're gonna put our reputations on the line. Well, I'm gonna put my reputation on the line,
Oh shoot,
and
we were supposed to do that, huh? Yeah,
yes.
yep, let's do that.
For those of you who remember, we made some predictions, and back at the beginning of the year, and we're gonna rehash those, just so you know,
Sweet.
if we were right or not. Anyways,
Yeah.
So now that we've
Can
been
we
totally
take a quick
sidetracked
commercial
by
break?
the yes.
Real quick here, I might need to do some quick research before we get to that segment.
All right, no problem.
I'm kidding. We'll be all right.
All right, cool. So, anyways, now that we've been fully sidetracked by the iPad 3, like the rest of the media, I want to bring you some really cool new technology. This is big. It's a big deal.
All right, what is it?
IBM, International Business Machines,
Whoa.
had a breakthrough last week, last Tuesday.
Okay.
And the breakthrough is in the realm of scalable quantum computers.
I don't
Dun
even know
dun
what that
dun.
means, but that sounds like a TV
Yeah.
show.
Yeah, this is definitely super science at its best.
So what is it?
So this is where people really like to test me, because people who know quantum physics better than me get a little bit picky. So feel free to comment on about how much of an idiot I am for how I'm describing this. But I'm gonna venture into the woods a
Well, if it
little bit,
makes
and
you feel any better,
hopefully.
I am not going to be able to tell you how much of an idiot you are, because I know
Okay.
significantly less, I bet.
Well, that's okay. So this is how a quantum computer works. Just follow me, James. Feel free to ask questions, because if you're asking questions, our audience is asking questions.
Okay.
So in a traditional computer, you have what is called a register. This is in your microprocessor. It has anywhere between 8 and 64 bits in a standard computer. Now, so if you have like a 64-bit Windows, that's because you have a 64-bit register. And each register can hold one value, either on or off. And that's your classic binary. And with that information, 8 bits is considered a byte, So there's 8 bytes in a 64-bit register. This is all sort of computer programming. And so how we make computers faster today is by processing those bits at a higher rate. So if we want to check the values of, if you want to check the values of, let's say, 64,000 bytes, you would have to process 1,000 times through that, or sorry, you'd have to process 8,000 times through that processor. So it's very linear in what it's able to do and how it's able to do it. And there's some other factors that come in, but we're trying to keep it kind of low level because we're about to get confusing. What quantum
Okay.
computers, how quantum computers differ from a traditional computer is that instead of using bits, they use what are called qubits. They're quantum bits, Qubits, if you ever see them. And what a qubit is able to do is use what's a phenomenon known as superposition, which is in quantum physics, elements or not elements, but particles can hold, they can be like, they can have one state, it's like a downward spin, or they can have an upward spin, like your traditional on-off, but certain under certain circumstances, they can have both up and down, or they can have both up and down, or they can have down and up and up and down and down and up and up and down. You can have one particle with tons of different values in it. And depending on the universe that you're experiencing, and when you actually observe it, it'll solidify to one state. So this is so if that's kind of confusing, don't worry about it. What happens is, this is the end result, is that when a processor, when a quantum processor calculates in for, does some sort of a calculation, what it does is it uses one of these qubits, which can store tremendous amounts of information. And when it processes one time, what will happen is the correct state that it's supposed to be in, the physical universe will select what it is, and it's you have to sort of think of it as a path of least resistance. And so the example that's given is if you
Okay.
have, let's say you're looking for phone numbers, let's say you're looking for phone numbers, and you have a list of phone
All right.
numbers that are stored as bits. You can have that entire list of phone numbers stored in one qubit or one qubit. And so what you do is when you're looking for, say you're looking for my personal phone number, which is 723-4969, that's not true. Don't call that number. But when you're looking for a specific random number, what it'll do is it'll compare it to the qubit, and it'll find the path of least resistance, which is the correct number. And so as you search through this massive, instead of having to look through each step of the massive list, you just find the right one, and in the next step you have your information. And so that's sort of the end result. And that's ideally where we're going.
Wow.
Now they've been able to they've actually had quite a bit of success with quantum computing, kind of building these hypothetical models, testing them out, and actually seeing the reality come true. This is still a couple of years off, and by a couple, I mean probably a decade. But one of the big questions about this kind of technology is as you move from the hypothetical science into the fundamentally, the engineering, is how are we going to actually scale it? What technology do we need to develop it to bring it from the theoretical to we actually, companies like Google can do Google searches, for example, in one process. The answer becomes is kind of where IBM came through here. So they had a big breakthrough. And I'm gonna be honest, it gets kind of if you're having a hard time following what I was just talking about. I'm not even gonna get into this because it has to do with superconductors and all different doping of silicone and all sorts of crazy stuff. But the essence of it is that they've developed ways to produce, manufacture the fundamental elements of a quantum computer in a more reliable way. And so what we're going to be able to hopefully see is large scale quantum computers. What you're like if you think back to like the 50s when they had like the computers that fit in a warehouse, it's going to be that same sort of a thing but for quantum computers, and they're going to be more powerful than entire servers server farms, and they're going to be tiny processors, and they're going to be more energy efficient and be able to do way higher computing power. And then, and of course, just like they predicted in the 50s that there'd be no need for a personal computer, they're predicting that there'll be no need for a personal quantum computer, which of course will inevitably lead people to developing personal quantum computers. So this is all stuff you get to look forward to over the next 50 years. Hopefully James and I will still be talking about it then, but I'm sure you're going to hear about it, and I just wanted to give you a little taste of what's going on in the world.
That was so far over my head, it's not even funny.
So do you okay. Should I just move on or and leave it at where it was, or do you have any questions that I might be able to kind of explain?
Well, I mean, I guess I get the point, which is like they're super fast, and even then, that's not the right way to describe it. It's a different type of race. It's not about the speed necessarily, but the end result is that it's able to do things really, really, really fast and really efficiently,
Yeah, that's great.
and that's cool.
Yeah. So exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Only IBM made computers that would actually be useful.
I think that's what's interesting is why it's important to IBM is because they do server farms nowadays. And so this is actually a really big deal for them if they're able to build these things because they could hypothetically, very in a very energy efficient, manufacturing efficient way, completely overturn, make all of Google's server farms seem antiquated and useless because they can literally do a Google search and, in a billionth of a second, whereas Google takes a whole second to do their Google search. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I could see, it's dramatic cost savings is what that comes down to.
Right. And that it'll change qual changes cloud computing, it changes all sorts of stuff. So I think it's a big deal, and I think that, it's something to kind of keep your eye on as time goes on.
Yeah, very cool. So speaking of the future, let's see, we're doing this on Tuesday. You're probably going to listen to it Wednesday, so this might have already happened. So it actually may not be the future. But tomorrow, Maxis is poised to announce SimCity 5.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Which, I mean, for some gamers, they're like, great, James, that's wonderful for telling me that. But then there's other people like myself who love simulations, who is just like, this is fantastic. I've loved all the Sim games. I think I've actually all the SimCity games. I think I've played all five.
You mean all four?
Yes. Correct. Yeah, I was trying to figure. I'm like, what was SimCity 2? But that was like,
Was
I know which one that was.
2000.
But
Which
yeah.
one was
So
SimCity
anyways.
2? How did it go? It was
That was the
SimCity.
one that was so there was SimCity, yeah, and then it was SimCity 2000,
Okay.
and then they had
What was
SimCity
SimCity 3?
3000.
Oh, I never played
Well,
3000.
it was 3000, and that was like basically they took the SimCity 2000 concept and just made it significantly more complicated. Like, for example, your like your water pumps and would actually degrade over time. They had you actually had to collect trash and stuff like that.
Oh, that's obnoxious.
Yeah. So they added that stuff, but it was still just like a you started up a new game and it was a single plot of land and you went for it, was the idea.
Right. And SimCity
Now in
4.
SimCity 4, that was where it got really interesting. They actually started you out with what I would call the equivalent of like a country or a state, and it had plots of land within it, and then you would start up a plot of land, create a city, and then you could jump to another plot of land, create an adjacent city, and they could actually connect to each other. You could sign deals. Hey, we'll collect your trash, you supply the power, whatever.
That's
And
right.
you could create like a metropolis type of thing, and then have other plots of lands, cities, be suburbs all around it, just housing, where they all literally commute to work, you know, all sorts of stuff. It was very cool. I could spend hours and days playing it. But it sounds like they're going to use some new thing. So the session tomorrow is called Inside the Glass Box. And so that's supposedly some new engine that they have that they're going to be, Glass Box is the name of this engine that they're going to be using to run the game.
Right, because SimCity 4 and SimCity 5, or sorry, no, SimCity 4, they developed this new graphics engine, and then for SimCity Societies, they used a modified version of the same engine to do all their graphics. And so SimCity Societies was another big one where it was, but it was much more, you
Well,
kind of,
that was a spin-off,
it was
really,
like,
is what I heard.
right, and yeah, exactly, because, well, you know, it used the same graphics engine, but you didn't get the huge plots of land, you didn't get the world map as it, or the country map, and it was a little bit more like, I would describe it as like sim, it was a little bit kind of a mix between like The Sims and SimCity.
Yeah.
In the effect of like you're dealing with a city's worth of people's, their happiness, where they're living, what kind of a city it is. There was you were much like you didn't designate land for this land will be for housing. You actually built houses, which
Wow.
was cool. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was a unique twist on the game, and you could, you know, they had all sorts of, you know, like The Sims, where they just had huge numbers of different options and stuff of things that you could build and buy, was the same thing, and you had to balance your city's happiness. So it was a different version of the game, but it was fun. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with SimCity 5 and what features and, you know, what game features they hold over from SimCity 4 and SimCity Societies.
Yeah, I have not played a lot of games recently just because I've been busy with life. But
Know
this
what you
might be
mean?
one where I waste a significant amount of time on it.
I remember back in the day, like when we had our computers set up in our bedroom, and you would run SimCity 2000, and you'd get it all going and up and running and everything, and then like you'd work on it for a few hours, and then you'd turn the screen off. You wouldn't stop the game; you would just turn the screen off, and we'd go to bed, and you'd wake up and hope the computer hadn't crashed during the
Yeah, well, I remember that. It was because we had a Mac, and it was like a Power Mac or, you know, old school type of thing, and so the game just ran slow, even though I would put it
Right.
on the highest setting level, and I would always turn off disasters because that was just annoying to me.
Right.
I was not, I'm not into averting disasters. I'm into building greatness, and so I'd have to leave it on because it was so slow because I could spin faster than it could tick through time. And then when our parents got they got a new PC, and it was like a 1995, I think, and I got the Windows version of SimCity and installed it on that, and I turned it on to whatever that fastest mode is, and I was like,
And
oh my
cheated.
gosh, yeah, it just like literally in like 30 seconds it did what used to take all night. It was crazy.
Right.
And I was like, this is the future of the computing world. I love it. I embrace it. It was amazing. So yeah. SimCity 5, here
Good
it comes.
times. Exciting.
Yeah, always exciting. Always exciting. So, also earlier in the week, Andy Rubin, I believe, who's kind of the head of the Android division for Google, mentioned that Android is making now 850,000 activations a day, or doing, I should say, making.
Almost a million a day. That's crazy.
Yeah, which is a large number, to be sure. So, Askmo, it's Asymco, Azimco. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to pronounce it. He posed a question: when will Android reach 1 billion users?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, which I really like his blog because he does all sorts of data and visualizations and stuff like that. And so he's able to Basically, as Google's been announcing these things, he's been able to plot them over time. And he was saying that if it continues, so they keep announcing, hey, we're activating more and more people. So he's saying that by the end of 2013, they could be activating more than 1.5 million devices per day. Does that make sense?
Per day? That just seems out of control.
Now, and when they hit that point, so then he's able to look at the cumulative, and he thinks that Android activations. Now, I don't know if this. I'm going to assume that this. That's not going to mean that there's a million. There's a billion in the world, because a lot of them are going to fall off, right? But he's saying that they will basically have activated 1 billion phones by, his estimate is November 2013.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. That's
Yeah,
pretty
it's
incredible.
pretty nuts.
I hate to break this news to Microsoft because I know everybody thinks that the computing industry is falling off the face of the cliff because nobody's buying PCs anymore, but sure doesn't seem like the computing industry's falling off the face of a cliff. That's incredible. 1 billion devices. I mean, just say how many people, think about how many people have jobs, how many companies are making tons of money, above and beyond Google, because of that number. That's,
And
I
by the
know
way,
that.
let's not forget that they started this whole thing in December of 2008. So we're talking a little under 5 years.
Yeah, that's incredible. I know that that's incredible. That's incredible. And on top of that, you do have the rest of the computer industry moving forward, including Apple's not nearly there as far as activations of iPhone, but when you include all of iOS, you get a pretty impressive number on top of that, and you sit there and you go, well, yeah, I mean, okay, people aren't buying PCs, but they're obviously buying computers.
Yeah, and this guy, he actually does do iOS and Android and Windows Phone and RIM and Windows Mobile together. And currently he's got iOS ahead, but by not by much. And so, I'm pretty sure Android's going to surpass them eventually. But that's not actually that's not even the story. That's not what matters. It's really these it's these two guys are taking over the next generation of mobile computing, and they own it, and in a big way.
This is kind of a weird segue, but Woz was Steve Wozniak was talking, had an interview, and they asked him about, the nature of Android and the competition, and obviously, as an honorary employee of Apple and a major stockholder, he wants Apple to be successful. But as an engineer and tech enthusiast, he loves what Google's doing at the same time. And I agree with Wozniak that, I think there's definitely room for two ecosystems. There's room for two computer systems, and
Totally.
especially with the nature of the unified internet nowadays, I actually don't think there was enough room for two operating systems back in the 90s. But with a unified internet, I think that the idea of moving forward, the idea of two competing operating systems, two competing ecosystems makes a lot of sense just because of standardized, unified data transfer. Pretty exciting. That's awesome. That is cool. Well, good news, James. We're gonna be around where we'll have a market to talk to for quite a while.
True. Very, very true.
Man. That'll be
A billion is a large number, just for the record.
It's unbelievably big. That's 1,000 millions. If you look at it, every once in a while, I think it's important to look at a number line. Draw a line that's like 4 feet across on a whiteboard. Mark a line at one and say that's zero. Mark a line at the other. Mark that's 1 billion. And then split it into 1,000 units, and 1,000th, all the way right at the edge of zero, that's a million. That's an unbelievably large number. and I do wonder what their deactivation rate is. You know, at what rate are they falling off the face of the planet? Because I think that would just be interesting to see, you know, what their actual activated units are like, and kind of see what the trend is over time. You know, I'm sure Google can look at that internally, but it would be nice to get a sense of what that is, and know, you know, yeah, know.
Well, you know, it's at least a 2-year lifespan.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised though if it was only like 2.5.
Well, yeah, I would say it's 2.5 tops. I'll bet it's 1.5 years.
Really?
I'll bet it's 1 year and 9 months on average. You know, just because of how especially in America, how the contract system works. You know, they let you upgrade your phone after, you know, a certain, before your contract is up if you renew, you know.
Right.
So I got to believe that it's a pretty, there's actually a higher turnover than the 2-year contract. But
that can make sense. I don't know.
Interessante. Anyways, cool. So now we're finally getting caught up to this week.
Yeah.
So Thursday. We're getting closer to the Apple TV, and people are finally starting to put stuff together in a more concrete way. We're getting, you know, we're not talking. And what's interesting about this is that we're not talking hardware. We're talking about relationships. You know, what made the iPod such a big deal? It wasn't the hardware. The hardware itself, as almost anybody would point out, was limited and overpriced at the time. What made the iPod such a huge deal was iTunes. You know, a single localized area to purchase your music. It's what set Apple apart and eventually allowed them to, you know, surge into the place as the biggest company in the world. So what they're trying to do is, and I think this is confirmed as well in, you know, what Steve Jobs is talking about leading up to his death and in his biography and stuff, about the nature of the relationship between the customer and the TV and the producers. And essentially what they're saying is, the big deal when they release the Apple TV in whatever form it is, whether it's an actual, you know, screen on the wall or just a more advanced Apple TV unit, like it, you know, like it's been so far. What the real big offer that they're gonna offering that they're gonna give to everybody is a new distribution channel. So the idea is that they're going to there's been rumors of this, that they're going to affordably deliver content to the end user in a way that's not just competitive with cable, but it's actually more affordable than cable. And the idea would be that they're going to unbundle it in some degrees, but you're not necessarily going to do full purchases. You know, that'll still exist in iTunes, but this will be separate from that. Basically what they're saying is that, you know, the TV producers are cautious because they see what happened to the music industry when Apple got involved, and the fact that, you know, the music industry felt like they lost control of their content, they lost control of their economic models as soon as Apple got involved. So the TV networks are nervous about that. But at the
Makes
same
sense.
Time, yeah. But at the same time, Apple's a 5 billion pound gorilla that's charging at them, saying, "We want your content, and we're willing to make it happen." And the TV industry, the cable companies might be, or bundling, or the networks might be bending under the pressure. So they are expected, they're saying they are expected to deliver a new Apple TV since device since their tomorrow, since they're like the channels worldwide have just gone dry. There's that you can't buy an Apple TV anymore. They don't think you're going to actually have the TV set tomorrow. That might be later in the year. And chances are this new service will also come later in the year. But the point of this is, it's not the hardware isn't going to come as just hardware. It's going to be a hardware media distribution channel coupling like it was with the iPod. And so, everybody asked the question, why would I buy an overly expensive Apple TV if it's just a
Yeah,
TV?
why would you?
And we keep looking for hardware solutions and asking the question of how will Apple outperform everybody else. But if you think back to the iPod Classic, it didn't, from a hardware perspective, it wasn't the best offering in the market.
Really?
And it, well, yeah, because it was, it had a, I mean, it only played one type of song. The battery life was good. That's one thing that Apple has always done, but it didn't have a massive hard drive. The sound quality wasn't great because the codec that they were using for compression wasn't all that. And there were already other MP3s in the market. It wasn't like they were the first MP3 player. They just coupled it. They gave you your mu a way to get your music in a really easy to use way. It downloaded to your, you plugged into your computer, you bought your song, everything synced, and it was done. Whereas you had to buy the CD, and then if you had a PC with an MP3 player, you had to buy the CD, pop it into Windows Media Player, rip it, find it in the file, drag and drop it into your MP3 player, and then you'd have this, and then maybe kind of, they were notorious for not having great interfaces. That was the other thing. The click wheel was kind of a big deal. So they improved the interface. From a hardware perspective, it wasn't the most impressive device on the market. It wasn't the most flexible by any means. It was one of the most constricted devices on the market. But it was the UI was efficient, and and getting your media was super easy and affordable. And the iPods took off like crazy. And then they couple that with a good marketing campaign and a status symbol, and all of a sudden you have, the multi-billion-dollar iPod market. So I think that that's what their goal is with the Apple TV, the actual television set coming down the pipe, is, they're not necessarily, it may not be that, it'll think have things like Siri and a great screen, but it won't necessarily be the most impressive piece of, it won't change how you think about TVs. It'll change how you think about television, is what they're proposing. And it's something that Google just doesn't have the weight. They don't have the management to be able to do that sort of thing. That's really something that is, if that's going to happen, it's a uniquely Apple thing that will make it happen. That they have the management, they have the money to go toe to toe with the distribution channels, and then Google will follow suit and probably offer a pretty decent competing
Well, I mean,
offer.
I don't know. Well, you say go toe to toe. It's like they can't buy their way in. I mean, it's not. It doesn't work that way. They need to get permission. I mean, that's what it's about. And the only way they're going to get permission is by providing a innovative solution that is also lucrative for everybody. And it doesn't matter how much money they have or weight or influence or any of that. As if anything, I would say their current influence is a tick against them. But
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
well, I reading this article, I mean they're talking about how content providers want to get as far away from Apple as possible, and it's really the cable subscription people who are like, well, this may not be a bad deal. We could still collect our fees, and we'll just run our stuff through Apple and let Apple manage the UI, and we'll just manage the pipes and still make gobs of money. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. I don't own a television, so I don't care. I don't even want to own a TV.
yeah, fair enough. That's kind of I don't want to own it because it has an Apple logo, but I don't watch TV, so we'll see what happens. yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool. Wait, it's my turn again.
Still your turn.
Okay, I was like, what are we waiting
Your
for?
line is.
Kodak. Okay, so another big thing that that happened this week. This is huge. One of our titans is collapsing, and for some reason, I don't get quite as much enjoyment out of Kodak as I do as with Rim. I think the reason with Kodak is it's just an antiquated technology. It isn't a comedy of errors that has led them to their current downfall, I think.
Well, the way that I look at it is, they're not prideful, they're not egotistical, and they don't shoot their mouths off. And I think they're a company where they would say, yeah, we've got issues, and we've got to try to figure out how to solve them. And they just couldn't figure them out fast enough. They had this classic problem of a huge business, and they were just like, we're literally going to trade dollars for pennies, and we can't figure out a way to do it. And so they held on to the dollars too long, and instead of figuring out ways to make the pennies work, I mean, it's tough. Newspaper industry is going through that right now. Heck, the music industry went through it, and now they're going through it. And so, which is kind of weird, you know. You never really thought like photography and, would go through that kind of transformation. Makes you wonder, okay, what else is on the phone? GPS sales, they're drying up. Look out.
Well, it's what's interesting is that that
Yeah,
has
they
happened.
probably are, right? I bet you Magellan and Garmin and TomTom, I bet they're not having fun right now. But you just don't notice because oftentimes they bundle their stuff with cars. And of course they probably that's probably actually the one thing that's still keeping them going, I would guess. But
And for a while, I mean, that was one of Kodak's big thing is their patent portfolio. I mean, that's how they were making money, is they owned the patents for camera technology, and so it was making a big deal. But most of their camera technology had to do with, photos and photographs and photography, not necessarily digital cameras. There were other innovators in that area, and so, and Kodak made single devices. Anyways, they got a lot of technology that for online distribution. You probably never used it, which is part of the reason why they're going bankrupt. But they finally decided to sell that, and they sold it to Shutterfly. So Kodak will live on as a shell of its former self in Shutterfly. One of the big things that's still on the table is, Kodak's moving all their technology and their business to Shutterfly, but it sounds like their patent portfolio is still up in the air, which I think will be that is one of their most valuable things, valuable parts of the company. And I think what you're going to see is a real mud battle between companies like Apple and Google and Motorola and all those different other companies as
Kind of
they're
surprised Facebook doesn't go after this.
yeah well it's possible Facebook might get into it. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, it seems like it's something that yeah they might want. I think part of it is that they don't feel like they have any competition right now, and I feel like it only makes sense to go after these patents if you want to go and fight legal battles against these other guys. And I think they're very, very hesitant to, even though there's that kind of omnipresent rumor of phones, I think that was a dream that they've realized that they're a little bit outclassed at this point just because they don't have the patent portfolio, and if nothing else. So I think that's what Facebook is hesitating on with the idea of developing hardware software solution, which I think is a good move, to be totally honest.
Yeah, probably.
I think it would be. I don't think Facebook needs it. I think that they've got a solution that's working for them right now, and working pretty dang well,
Yeah, seems to be doing just fine.
They get to ride the wave that Apple and Google are investing billions of dollars into creating. So, good times. I don't think they're not worried. I don't think they should be. But yeah, man.
Right, totally. Well, I have bad news for you.
Dang
Printing is apparently not dead.
it.
Which I know is totally opposite than what you tried to convince the world of last week.
I'd love to hear the argument on this one, but
All right. So here's what I think is fascinating.
okay.
There's an article by GigaOm talking about I think it's EZEEP, or it might be EZEP, I don't know. It's offering a new portal to printing in the cloud. And what I find fascinating is GigaOm was the same article that we had talked, the same place the article was written that launched our whole conversation last week.
About the death of printing. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and you know, and here they are touting this new service, going, "It's gonna be awesome." You're just like, "All right." Which actually, I mean, in my opinion, like consumer printing, like printing in your home, you know, the photos you're gonna upload to Facebook, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably gonna be significantly less of that. However, from an enterprise standpoint, man, it's gonna take a whole lot to not have to print stuff. Anymore.
Yeah.
Now, this one is the idea. Let's see here. It's a Berlin startup, and it provides a technology similar to Google's Cloud Print. The idea is that so every printer requires a driver, you know,
Right.
basically software to, you know, to talk to the printer to tell it what to do. And what they do is they put all those drivers into a server somewhere. And then all you do is you send the files to the server, tell it, you know, "Hey, I want to print to this printer." And then the server tells that printer, "Print these files. And here's, you know, here's the software to do it." That's the basic idea. So the cool thing about it is you don't have to install drivers anymore on your computer.
Thank goodness.
You don't have to be connected to your computer or
Thank
printer.
goodness.
You don't even have to be near the printer.
I like that.
And furthermore, if you have an iPad or another mobile device, because you don't need the drivers, you literally can, I don't know if Google Cloud Print works this way, but HP has one. It's called ePrint. You literally, your printer has a specialized email address, and you can email documents, and it'll print it for you, because it's smart enough to know how to do it. You know, you send an email with an attachment, and it'll print out all those attachments for you,
Nice.
because it's a similar idea. Cloud's doing it, print anywhere, and theoretically you can do it from anywhere, which is cool. And
Now, I
yes.
I was gonna say, I think that as if you want to printing to continue, you need to definitely move in the direction of making it as simple as possible to use.
I agree.
And I think I don't mean this personally, James, but we have an HP printer, and the wireless printing is really cool when it works. The software updates, it takes longer to update my wireless printing software than it does to update Windows. It's kind of ridiculous. I
Wow.
mean, you know, and maybe it's my computer or something I've done, but it's kind of annoying. And like I said, it's inconsistent. And I think to me that is the fatal flaw of printing. It's I was once told during playing football, it's better to be consistent but wrong as opposed to inconsistent. I'd rather and I'd you know it was actually it was my It was the quarterback. I was snapping the football, and it was like he goes, once, three out of every four times you snap it to the right location, but every fourth time you miss it, and it's because it's like you're going to the wrong location. So let's change it. So even if it's not perfect, at least you'll get it to the same place every single time. I want you to be consistent, and it's like the computer, it's like, or the printer, it's great, but man, it's like, okay, I'm getting ready to run. I need to print this document right now. I'm hitting the document and it won't print. And you just want to tear your hair out and start throwing stuff around the room. It's just like, I needed you to work right now. And so anything that can reduce the chances that it won't work right now, I think is what needs to be the entirety of the focus of the printing industry, you know?
So I would agree with you. My personal experience has been fine. I don't have mega software updates, and it prints every time I hit the print button.
Yeah.
So that was me, Vinny. That was sweet.
Perfect timing.
My dog is barking because I knocked on the door or the desk. That's just me. That's sweet. Gotta love it was one of those, I did it and he looked up and I went, oh, that was not a smart thing to do. So anyways, I agree with you. That hasn't been my experience. My printers worked fine. I don't know what's up with yours. Honestly, I would
You
believe,
know,
but I agree with you 100%.
I'm willing to concede. I am willing to concede that it's my fault and not HP's. I'm willing to concede that it's possible I'm doing something wrong. My problem is that my problem is that I get everything else to work. You know, it's that classic, you know, my, you know, I've got, you know, the unified Bluetooth with all my Logitech peripherals works great. All my other peripherals work great. You know, I've got microprocessors that I'm constantly plugging in and running. They all work great. I've got web servers that I run and they all work great. And I'm sure I'm willing to concede it's something I'm doing wrong, but it just so happens that it's kind of a shared narrative that for some reasons printers have a hard time. And this is the one thing I need to say. I think because they're so common, I think we forget how impressive an XY ink plotter is. It's actually a
Yeah,
very
that's right.
impressive device.
And let's also not, let's not, we have to mention how impressive the ink and toner is that HP produces to make the crisp images.
I'll let you do
Thanks.
that. You know, I'm not
Once again,
saying, you
I do
know.
not represent HP. I just happen to earn all of my money from HP.
Yeah, it's a, yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know. You know, I go back and forth because I recognize the difficulties of building a machine like that. It's a machine where it's not, you know, it's not steady state. It's a more complicated thing to do, and they make them very affordable
Okay,
for
look.
consumers. But
This was not supposed to turn into a printing bashing session. What
that's
I was
right.
su this was supposed to see, I'm bringing it back on track. What the
you.
point of what I was trying to say is that there is this new company. They've gotten how much is it? Like $600,000 to keep it
Nice.
going, to keep running out their system. They already got some partners, like hotels is a classic place where they're like, it makes total sense. You can have one at the front desk and people can print down to it without having to whatever connect to it, and all I was saying is clearly there is a market for it, and I think this kind of service, I mean, that's a win for HP because I can tell you
Yay.
statistically speaking, it's probably going to be an HP printer that's connected on the other end of that paint job.
Right. And that's, you know, that's cool. I mean, and you know, and you know, I don't think printing is dead. I think it's dying. Those are two very different things. And if somebody can make
All right, fine. You can think
their
that.
living for a couple decades off of it, you know, go for
Yeah.
it. You know, I got no problem with that. Okay. Talking about companies that are dying, though, it's time for your weekly RIM update.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a horrifying news for RIM. The headline, this is the Wall Street cheat sheet.com is bringing you this. Basically, they were saying, you know, the title is "End is Near for RIM as clientele drift or clients drift to Apple." And at first I was like, well, okay, so that's like we've been hearing stories about this for a while, you know, but you know, who are these clients that are, you know, going away? How big are we talking? And so this is the first sentence. According to analysts, Research in Motion will be forced to lower the fees it's charging carriers for BlackBerry services this year. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, or the ATF, announced that it will be removing its BlackBerry servers for more effective alternatives that offer support to a wider variety of devices by the end of the year. So this is horrible news. Basically, the ATF, one of the biggest bureaucracies in America is gonna get rid of their Blackberries. And it turns
Wow.
out they're not the only ones. It's already a major move throughout all of the government, that they're moving away from their RIM devices, and moving towards iPhones, iPads. And it doesn't mention Android devices. I find it incredibly hard to believe that Android's not gonna make up a big part of that eventually what replaces BlackBerry. But man, that's bad news, you know. Bad news bears. The governments, because for a while, you know, everybody has always said, you know, their bread and butter is the is are your financial institutions and your big businesses. But the truth is that, you know, the government has been as big an anchor as anything, if not a bigger anchor, because they're so slow to move. You know, it's so much more difficult for them to switch over to new technology and get their figuring out how to do it. So it's definitely bad news for RIM, good news for American companies.
Nice,
But
nice.
you know,
Win for America.
yeah,
Woo-hoo.
we don't have very many international listeners yet, so I don't mind
Oh, that's
rooting for
funny.
the
And you
home
guys cannot see this right now, but you'll have to visit the show page, because we're going to have a picture of it. But he is making this statement with a Yosemite Sam-ish size and quality mustache right now.
Mustache March.
That's
Yeah,
right.
that I'm and I'm slowly stroking. It gives me some gives me an air of confidence.
So, yeah, that just helps with the effect of that statement. America, winning. That's funny.
Yeah, so interesting thing that we're moving forward with. And then the other thing that this is also was yesterday. So Facebook announced that they have a new service that they're going to be bringing to desktops. It's basically a messenger service. I don't know if.
And you think it's a mistake, and I don't know why.
So this is my thought. Facebook Messenger on so do you obviously we both have Facebook apps on our mobile devices, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have the Facebook Messenger device on your Messenger app on your device?
Yes.
Okay. Me too.
And I actually used it a lot this last weekend.
And I wouldn't say I use
Not
it
a
a
lot.
lot.
I had a conversation.
I wouldn't say I use it a lot, but I actually like it. And the reason why I like it is this. Facebook is on mobile devices. It's slow. It's a huge app. It's an impressive app, but it's bulky and slow. I don't know if you've noticed. It was literally unusable on my second generation iPod Touch because it was just so slow. And now that I have a fully functioning high speed device, it's pretty usable, but I don't like navigating around it very much. And Messenger is all the more slower, all the slower because of that. In built into the app. So this discrete app that's a little bit faster, a little bit even more dedicated makes a lot of sense, I think. So the problem I have is that I don't know the last person that I saw that had a chat client open running natively, or like an extra app running on their desktop since AIM.
Does iChat count?
I want to say no for the sake of my argument, but I probably should say it does count as a chat client. I think it's a little. I actually. Well, I want to argue that it's unique because it's not an additional application. It's baked into the OS. It's a little bit more functional. But I
So
suppose from a service perspective, it's the exact same thing.
I guess here, this will help make your point. I actually used to have Google Talk installed, their external plugin on
Right.
my Windows machine, and I used to have iChat installed, or not used to. I had iChat, like, it would be running in the background, and I had both Google Talk and Facebook running on it. I found that it worked just inconsistently enough where I was like, forget it. And I turned it off. And for a really long time, I didn't have anything. And I would only pop up the chat clients if I was in like Gmail or on Facebook itself. That was it. Plus mobile phone, whatever. Which they don't have anything for Google Talk, so it would just be the Facebook one. And it was only recently that I turned iChat back on. But that's because of the texting to phones, because that's really convenient to just type on a keyboard and get your messages pop up in your face.
Oh my goodness. I actually for a very
Ooh,
long
hot
time.
button.
Yeah, I guess this is the point I'm going to, that I'm driving at.
So,
So
and I think I helped make your point, I think, is what I
thank
was.
you. I yeah,
But go ahead.
I you did. So I used Google Talk a lot during my last relationship, as James can attest. We were texters. We texted each other a lot. And
Yes, it
as
was
I kind of
annoying.
have I haven't how was it annoying?
Dude, we'd be in the middle of a conversation. You'd be texting.
Oh, I
It would
thought I was
annoy
gonna say because
me.
you used to get the results of those text messages and see how many billions we sent. Anyways, whatever, man. You're old. I'm part of the younger generation that's okay with that sort of texting communication.
Dude, whatever. It's disrespectful.
to my elders. so, anyways, what I was driving at was, I didn't necessarily like texting on my phone all the time. It wasn't always my preference. Especially as I had different phones with different functionalities and whatever. I broke them all the time because they were cheap. What was my point here? Oh,
I
and
don't
so I
know.
really like to use Google. I really like to use Google Text because it integrated all these different devices together. It was easy to talk to. But I liked opening Google Talk on my computer and then using that to text. I didn't
Okay.
necessarily like using, I didn't necessarily want to sit on my mobile device. I liked having something on my desktop that I could use. But this is my point. I think Facebook is making a mistake by having a dedicated app for the computer. I don't think that that helps them at all. I think what they really should do is kind of go the Google route, which is have different URLs and completely separate interfaces for their different products. I think they should have a messages.facebook.com and do what they've done with the apps where there's the Facebook app with the Messenger and then have just the Messenger. And I think, really have it be a really quick, really fluid service. You can easily switch back and forth, but have the UI be dedicated to what they're doing. And Google has some little optional things that you can download to get notifications, like you open up Google Mail, and so your Google Chat client turns on, and then you want to send that to back in your tabs or minimize it, whatever, but you don't want to miss messages. Well, they have little pop-up notifications that would pop up and say, "Oh, hey, you have a message," and then you click on it and it would open up your browser. And I guess what my point in all of this is that I think for desktops, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot more sense to focus on mobile applications that will be useful and have useful information. And maybe, Facebook likes to integrate everything into Facebook. And so you can navigate everything from that central hub. And I think that Google does it right, where they have each service has a different function, and then they're building Google Plus, which kind of brings everything together, and they're integrating all those systems across their different websites. And I don't think it would hurt Facebook at all to start to dedicate services to different addresses, and then slowly, and have them be tightly integrated. But I just don't, I 13-year-olds are going to download it because they don't know any better. But I just don't think it's gonna be a. I don't see anything that they're saying that would make somebody like me want to download it. I think, whereas I think I would use a dedicated messenger. I think I would use a dedicated messenger thing, because the truth is that I keep Facebook on in my background now, not because I care about what people are posting in their news feeds. I couldn't care less. I use it because I want to be able to chat with people, and I think if I had something that kind of focused that, I would use that a lot, like I use Google Chat, and I don't think I'm alone in that opinion at all.
I guess I'm trying to formulate how I feel about it, other than I won't be downloading it. But that's just 'cause
Right. You're
I
not
don't
13.
do that. But yeah, the semi-ironic part too is like they just released the preview of Windows 8, and they're gonna have to rewrite this entire thing in 6 months anyways,
Yeah.
to for the tile system and whatever. And I thought at one point in time they talked about how they wanted to do everything HTML5 and so they could easily scale across things and
You know, that's that to me, exactly. It just seems backwards. It seems like they're going in the wrong direction. For what their service is and how it works, they're going in the wrong direction. You know.
I don't know. Maybe this is just the start of something. I think they like the idea of getting notifications on your desktop,
Yeah.
and it sounds like that's a part of it. Is you can get, hey, your friend liked this, your friend did this, and so they can start driving engagement to
Yeah,
it.
you know, I guess
I
the
would honestly, I'd prefer to see like a Facebook share button that is more like a plugin where you're writing a document and there's now a Facebook button that says share this document, or you're editing a photo and it says share this photo,
That'd
or
be cool.
something like that.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah,
I don't
you know,
know. I just
I guess
the chatting's good, but
I was gonna say, I guess I shouldn't say that I'm completely against the idea of native applications for a desktop environment. Like I don't think that's wrong. I just think the service that they're picking is kind of stupid and pointless. And they're not gonna get the success that they want. But maybe they don't care. Maybe this is one of their side projects where they're just doing it for the fun of it and getting their feet wet and seeing what happens, you know, Google
probably.
Wave-esque.
Yeah. I would not be surprised to see this it'll still be around 2 years from now, but it won't have been updated in 18 months.
Right,
And
exactly.
you're just kind of like, "Well, we just haven't turned off that server yet."
Right, exactly.
I could see that. Or they're using it to learn something
That's
and
that, and
to
that's
just
why I use the,
experiment.
that's why I use the Google Wave and, you know, analogies. That was so clearly them developing tech, beta testing the idea of that, you know, of that instant share typing where they, you know, instead of sending entire words, they send characters, and then they're analyzing that at the same time, which is a technology that's been built into everything from Google Search to Google Documents to YouTube. I mean, it's everywhere now, but they use Google Wave as this dedicated server to prove it as a proof of context, proof of concept, debug it and professionalize it. And then as soon as they had the technology they wanted, they just, you know, chucked the service and you know, classic Google. But
I miss Google Wave.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up. I just tip the hat.
That was.
You know, it was
I
a cool
miss it.
service. It was a good idea.
I visited today because I had some stuff saved on it that I needed to export to somewhere else because I can't write on it anymore.
Yeah.
And I've, so you can go to it and it's read only. I was just like, I miss you. But
It's read only. Interesting.
it's sad.
It was a, you know, it was a good product. It is sad that they.
Well, it was good and it looked cool. I mean, it was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. I think Google Documents makes sense, but I don't know.
Yeah, but it's just so ugly and stark in
It's
comparison.
true. It's true.
But
Google Wave is more fun. But functionally, they're the same. Anyways, cool. Everything all right?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Like, you literally sound like you're a mile away. Do I sound
Really?
okay?
You sound fine.
That's strange.
Do I need to disconnect or something?
Well, the sad part is I got the.
Hello?
Here, hold up, hold up. Okay, now talk.
Okay, I'm talking. Any luck?
What?
Is
This is
it just your
crazy.
headphones? Is it just your
Yeah, it must
headphones or is
be.
it me in general? Okay.
It's weird.
That is
You
weird.
were coming in just fine, volume-wise, and now like it's a whisper.
Huh.
Maybe
Well,
I.
now I don't know if I should yell or not, because if I yell and I'm being recorded just fine, it'll be really obnoxious.
It looks like your levels are fine.
Okay. Excuse the
I'm pretty
technical
sure.
day and
Here, let's get
difficulties.
crazy. All right, folks, hang on for the ride here. This should get interesting.
Oh,
Hey, you
I'm
sound fine
back.
now.
Cool.
Well, you're not back. You sound fine. I tried you through my speakers, so it is my headsets. Here's what we're gonna do. Just, oh boy, which one's which?
I should put myself on mute and freak you out. Oh,
All right, I can hear now.
and roll.
My headset suddenly died.
Bummer.
Kind of disconcerting. So now I have earbuds on, so I can hear you,
Yeah.
and then my headset sitting on top of it. But
I'll be honest, James, it's not the goofiest thing I've ever seen. Oh. It's close, but not quite.
that's cool. That's cool. So,
Anyways, it works. Yeah, go for it.
I got one more thing, and
Okay.
it's just totally goofy.
Oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. They're not good. Go for it.
What? What?
I know what. Oh, did you see the video? You might
Oh,
ask if our
yes.
razors are
I
good.
did. I did watch the video. I was so okay. This is in support of Mustache March. There's a new company out there called Dollar Shave Club, and they have launched a new razor subscription service for $1 a month plus $2 shipping and handling. Customers get a monthly shipment of razors delivered to their home.
How many razors do you get a month?
I don't know, enough for a month?
Cool. I re highly recommend that everybody check this out for two reasons. Number one, it seems like it's a pretty good deal. But number two, they started a viral marketing campaign in order to push this campaign, this new product. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, in at
Well,
least.
it's pretty much like they took the Old Spice videos and we're just going to turn tweak it for what we're doing.
Right. Except it's not even. It's a little bit like the. It's kind of it's a, that stream of consciousness. We're doing stuff, but unlike the Old Spice commercials, where like he's like incredibly awesome. This guy's just a normal guy. It's really great. And what I was telling James, one of my favorite lines in it is the. Oh man, I wish we could play because I'm just not going to do it justice. But.
Okay, here we go. I can do this. I think I
It's
can do
totally worth it.
this. Let me,
Thank you for not making me ruin this scene.
yeah, well, we're not home yet.
Right. They posted this video on Reddit today, and I watched it instead of preparing for the show, I will admit, which is a mistake. But Reddit caught wind of it and drove so much traffic to the
Oh
site
man,
that they took
they
down the
brought it
site for like
down.
4 hours. perfect.
So even though you're going to hear the audio, you need to watch the video,
Oh yeah.
because the accompanying craziness that goes with it is pretty hilarious.
Let's go.
And and it is loading, thinking really hard about what it is that I'm asking it to do.
Yeah. Your internet is currently streaming two video and audios through Google Chat or through Google Hangout, so I'm pretty sure your computer's going to have a hard time
Hi,
with
this
this
is
one.
Matt, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for $1 a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, $1. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades and aloe vera lubricating strip and a pivot head. It's so gentle, a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand-name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis. And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome-ass grandfather had one blade and polio. Let me hear it, Papa! Stop paying for shave tank you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. All 100 and I are going to ship them right to
He just
We're not just
threw a
selling
box at a
razors. We're also
bar at
making
a
new
bear
jobs.
in a
All
suit.
100, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. Stop
Dollar.
forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on.
Yes.
You know, I am pretty confident I'm willing to try that out for a month. That's worth the $3. That
That's pretty goofy.
is a great video. That is a they did a good job.
It's just totally random. Alejandra and I are going to ship you these razors.
Alejandra, what were you doing last month? Not working. What are you doing this month? Working. I'm no Vanderbilt. That was great. Good times, good times.
Yeah, so there you go. In celebration of Mustache March, dollarshaveclub.com.
It's awesome. That's awesome. All right,
Totally
cool.
goofy.
So, we know this is why you're here, and this is why you listened this week, and you wanted to know. So we're bringing it to you now. We're closing the show down with this one. Tomorrow morning, Apple is announcing something new. We already
Which, when
hinted
you're
at.
listening to this, they might have already announced it, but
Yeah,
yes.
really and truly, unless you like wake up early, they've probably already announced it. So by this point, especially if you listen to the whole show, because if you think about it, like what time are we going to upload this podcast? What do you think?
Tonight.
Tonight? Okay. Well then, there's a good chance. Well, let's say you wake up at 8 o'clock. Well, you're not going to wake up. But this is a stupid conversation. I'm going to get back on track.
Okay, good call.
Apple is going to. It is rumored that Apple will be announcing the next generation of iPads tomorrow morning, about 10 o'clock. Also, there are rumors circulating that a new Apple TV is coming. It's almost inevitable, as I mentioned earlier in the show. There are literally no Apple TVs worldwide being sold as new units. So if Apple's not going to release the next generation, they quite unceremoniously ended the last one. So, but probably not what happened. See now. They're obviously moving forward with more and more TVs. Like I said, probably not going to be a big, not going to be an actual monitor. It's just going to be the next generation of the little puck. But
Good, that's what I want, and that's what I
yeah,
said.
that's what's going to be coming tomorrow alongside the iPad 3. But
No, it's not the iPad 3, it's the iPad HD PDQ with quantum computing powers.
quantum computing. So I listened to the podcast. I did the hard work because I know none of you want to listen to it again. I listened
I didn't
to
even do it, so
I
there you
know
go.
I really and I actually only listened to our discussion about the iPad 3 because I don't want to know what we're wrong about yet.
Ah.
but I
I'm feeling good about Rim. I'll be honest.
Oh, dude, I felt so much better after this. So we asked the question, what's coming with the iPad 3? And there were a number of things that we talked about. that we suggested. One of them was this new generation of screens. It's a four-letter acronym versus the current generation, which is a three-letter acronym. Obviously, I don't remember what the letter combinations were, but one of the things that we were pretty much united in our predictions were that it's going to be Retina. It's going to be HD. It's going to be super sophisticated, which I'm sticking with. I guarantee Retina is coming next week or coming tomorrow. The other thing that I said was that I think that it's going to be a bigger, thicker body because it's going to have a bigger battery in it to support the Retina screen, which everything that I've read rumor-wise, we're sticking with that. It's going to be a couple millimeters thicker. It's going to be a thicker body. That's coming down the pipe. The other thing that I said is that I said it's going to have a new processor in it. And I want to point this out, that the A5X, as it's being called, the rumored new chip that's coming with it, had not been mentioned by anybody anywhere. So it's entirely possible that the entire internet is echoing the rumor that I started in January.
I don't think that's possible. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Basically what I said was, I said it's either the A6, which will be a quad-core processor, or it will be a dual-core processor with quote-unquote hyper-threading, which simulates a four-core processor. It's what the current generation of Intel chips are doing, the i7s. If you remember talking back, the i7s aren't actually 8-core. They're four-core. They're quad-cores that are simulating an 8-core.
Sure.
That's what I said, and I'm sticking by that. I think tomorrow they're going to announce a dual-core processor that has all the processing power of a 4-core processor. It makes sense. It keeps the die smaller. It keeps the power consumption lower. I think that's where they're going. So I'm sticking with that prediction. Another thing we said, I can't remember if we talked about a better camera, but I think we talked about a better camera. I think there's going to be a better camera tomorrow. I'm sticking with that one.
So here's what I'm hearing you say. Basically, they're going to take all the specs or most of the specs, and they're going to give them a boost. Some more of a boost than others, but they're overall going to make the device better. And as a result, most pundits will be disappointed.
Yes, I think that's definitely the case. I said it would have Siri. I still think it's coming with Siri. It's going to be 4G. That was another thing we talked about at CES. Verizon, pretty much outed the fact that every Apple device coming on their network for the next year or for the future will be 4G or better, or LTE or better. So it's definitely LTE. That's like not even a question. What else did we talk about? I'm trying to rack my brain here. I didn't write it down because I was in the car listening. And I'm a safe driver. one of the big things, so this is the one, this is the tough one. This is the one I'm nervous about.
Carbon fiber body.
Oh, carbon, thank you. Carbon fiber body.
I was just totally making that up, really?
Yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah, we did talk about that. You pitched that one, and I said no, because I think they're going to do a carbon fiber body for the iPad 5, and they want to keep that one in their back pocket.
We may have to take a quick break, but keep going, unless he's just barking for the fun of it.
All right. What was I going to say? Your dog totally distracted me. Okay. So I got this. I said we're sticking with the aluminum bodies. They're gonna do carbon fiber for the iPhone 5. But the big one that I still think is up in the air, and I'm still nervous about this prediction. Okay. Cost of the iPad 2.
So you think they're keeping it for starters?
I'm guaranteed they're keeping it.
And now the question is, what's the price point?
Yeah, it's going to be the low generation, Wi-Fi only, 8 gigs.
What did, do you remember? Do you remember what
16
we said?
Gigs rather. Yeah, I do. I said.
Go ahead, refresh us.
I said $200 off. You said 150.
Yeah, I'm liking my number.
I know. I'm pretty nervous about mine.
All right.
If I could, and it's funny, because I started it saying it was going to be 250, and then by the end of our conversation was saying it was 300, I'm still feeling like, man, I should up it to 350. That's such a push.
Ah.
And one of my big concerns is hearing me say it again, I thought, you know, if it were a $300 iPad, I'd get the iPad too without thinking about it. And I actually think that I'm normal. I think most people would buy an iPad 2 instead of the iPad 3 if it were $200 less expensive than the best iPad 3, because I don't think there's going to be any killer feature. I don't think that there's going to be anything that's so ground.
Siri. Retina display.
I know. And my problem is I think that a $200 discount in order to lose that, I think people are still really impressed by the iPad 2, and they will continue to be impressed by the iPad 2. Wow. And so they're likely to go and buy the iPad 2, even with the iPad 3 in existence.
Can we take a quick break before you get back to that discussion?
No problem.
And we're back. Thanks for your patience, Matthew. Everyone else had to wait like 15 seconds, so they don't.
Yeah. I'm jealous.
So you were talking about how wrong you were on your predictions, I believe.
Oh yeah, that's right. So I was talking about the price of iPads. I'm thinking I want to hedge my bet on the $300 iPad. I say that so that James remembers what we're talking about, because everybody else remembers. It was rather difficult for me to keep track of it, to be honest. I got a little bit distracted with music and stuff. So, what was I going to say?
I don't know.
So I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with the $300 iPad.
All right.
$200 discount. iPad 2.
I'll stick with
my. Excited.
Cool.
Alright.
So you doing anything fun this weekend?
Do you have any other things that...
No.
Wait a second. We're not done with this yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm moving, man. I'm ready to go.
What are you gonna say? Do you have any adjustments to what you think is gonna happen tomorrow morning / after you've listened to this?
Nope. I feel good.
Alright, cool.
It's all pretty straightforward.
Alright, you feels good?
Just do spec bumps. Too. Don't change the world. There's going to be some cool software stuff, I'm sure, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Did I do anything cool this week? I actually did pretty much nothing cool this week.
Wow.
Kind of a down week for fun things. I didn't play any new video games. I didn't download any cool apps. I didn't work on any websites. I fought with my Arduino some more, but I still can't get wireless communication to work, which is driving me up the wall.
Maybe you should try fixing the printer on that one then. Maybe it is a user error.
Burn.
Maybe it is a user error.
That's messed up, Doc. That's messed up. I didn't appreciate that at all.
Well,
anyways.
You jarred my team.
what did you do?
I downloaded this fun game called Mario. It's a mashup of Super Mario Brothers, the original, and Portal.
Nice.
So it's exactly like Mario, except they give him the Portal gun, and so he can.
Is it hard?
Yeah. But it's because you're playing it on a computer, not on with a joystick, and so, you know, that's kind of hard. It's just weird to get along with, and it's literally the exact same, like, it's the exact Mario game, so, like, you really don't need it, honestly, because, you know, it's it's a Mario game.
Right.
But it was fun. It was fun to goof off with, be like, all right, sweet. It would have been cool, too, if they had had the Portal person, like, talking over him instead of just...
Oh, yeah.
the Mario Bros. Music, which is good, but
Gladys.
Yeah. Gladys, yeah, that's the person.
Yeah.
That was
cool, dude. Thing. I'll have to check that out.
I'm traveling next week. That's cool. We'll do our show before I leave.
Nice. Yeah.
So that'd be neat.
I'm traveling too. It'll be before I leave as well. So, but like nice. Like we said, the show will be back Monday morning. You'll be able to catch up. We'll do an extensive review of everything that happens between now and then, which will hopefully be a lot. So that's pretty much all we got going.
Cool beans.
Cool, dude.
All right, man. Thank you for joining us. I am James Furlow. My brother is Matthew Furlow. And we will talk next time.
Tell me what you know about dreaming, dreaming. You don't really know about nothing, nothing. You know about dreaming, dreaming. You don't really know about nothing, nothing. Tell me what you know about the night terrors every night. 5 a.m. I hope you actually listen to this, James. Know that I'm doing it on purpose. Let's see what's on Reddit. Ooh, Super Tuesday decided. Nothing! Santorum Sea Shadow. 6 more weeks. Oh, that's awesome. What's going on Reddit? Reddit. There's a picture on top. I like pictures. Pictures are interesting. Okay, let's see. Ooh, very nice. Oh, water. That's cool. I like that. Very cool.